Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, last week we set out on this world tour of global Christianity with author Miriam Aidney to learn about the lives and faith of Christians in different parts of the world. And the story is really quite fascinating because it's much bigger than a Western story, that's for sure. We started in Africa last week. And tonight we're heading across the Atlantic Ocean to the continent of South America, where the story gets even more exciting, I think. Miriam Aidney is the author of the book Kingdom Without Borders, and she's our tour guide, really. Miriam, welcome again.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, last week we were talking about how the statistics on Christians in the Western world are really overshadowed by the numbers of followers of Jesus in the rest of the world, and Latin America is certainly a good example of that. Give us a broad overview of just what's happening there in terms of statistics and numbers of Christians, etc.
Oh, you know, I didn't even put definite statistics into my book because Latin America, of course, has been for centuries now a predominantly Christian country, the Spanish and the Portuguese coming and bringing the faith. Mm. And my focus has been more on the Protestants in Latin America. They have been growing significantly within the 20th and 21st century to the point that now they have sent out almost 10,000 missionaries to other places, either to other Latin American countries or to places like Africa.
Yeah, yes. And 45 million evangelicals alone in Brazil, I think you were saying. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's giant. And, of course, much of the growth over the last few years has been because of the Pentecostal movement. That's been phenomenal, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, yes. And it goes well with, I think, Latin exuberance, too. And also, there is a lot of poverty in Latin America, and there, of course, has been a lot of political unrest as well. And in those contexts, Pentecostal hope has been important.
Yeah.
Also, another thing is that Pentecostals historically have not required leaders to have seminary training to begin with, and whereas the established Protestant Catholic churches have required this. And among the many poor people in Latin America, they may be barely literate, and yet they come to faith, and they are excited about sharing it and actually leading group of others that have come to faith. And,
yeah.
And Pentecostalism allows them to do that, often in a kind of a graduated, mentored kind of way where you're kind of an apprentice to others, but gradually on the job you learn how to be a leader. And that's real liberating for a lot of people.
Certainly spurred on that growth. Now, you think about South America and you think, well, it's also had a pretty painful history too, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a sad thing. Of course, it has a lot of natural resources. It's not a naturally poor continent, but it's suffered from colonialism from Europe, and then, of course, the United States periodically has invaded various countries and changed governments. And then there has been also, and of course, a very large number of African slaves were brought to Latin America, much larger number than was brought to the United States. And then there has been the oppression of the Aboriginal or Indian people by the majority people, citizens themselves. So there's been a certain amount of pain that has, held back the growth that might be.
Yeah, and then you can see then the growth of Marxism as a result of that, you know, wanting to liberate the people, but it's brought as many shackles as it's brought liberation, hasn't it?
Well, it does, if you take it far enough. A lot of university students in particular were and are still, but Marxism's shine has been tarnished a little bit.
Mm.
But, attracted to Marxism because at least they thought, here's an ideology that speaks up for the working man. And so, yes, they were attracted to that as something that hopefully would bring in a more egalitarian society.
So in light of those challenges in South America, Latin America, what does the Christian faith bring then when it comes to those kinds of difficulties that the continent has actually faced? What have you seen? What have you heard?
Well, one thing that's interesting is that, as far as I know, most churches have some sort of outreach to the poor, which I find rather interesting. For example, one church, this is a rather large church in Sao Paulo, Brazil, it's called Renascer Church. It actually sends buses out to the slums to feed poor people who come out of their cardboard shacks for food and blankets, and they feed about 2,500 people every day. Hmm. With their buses into the slums. And they also stop and talk to the people and treating them as human beings. There are others. I've written about some of these in the book. One of them, I think you probably remember the story, a man was pastoring this was in Venezuela, and one night he felt a pistol held to his head. He was shaken out of a sound sleep, and a thief said, "Get the church keys and unlock the door." And once they were in the church, the thief ripped out an amplifier and grabbed a guitar and then fled. And the pastor was shaking his head in front of the church trying to figure out what had happened. And then five street toughs, all with guns, came around the corner, and the pastor thought, "What next?" And the street toughs brought his amplifier and his guitar and said, "Is this your equipment?" And the pastor said, "Yes. How did you find it?" And the street tough said, "Well, we saw that thief walking down the street with this stuff, and we said to him, 'Where'd you get those things?' And he said, 'From the church.' And they said, 'No way, because that church is doing good stuff for our neighborhood, and so they deserve to have their equipment."
Yeah.
So this is an illustration of churches on the ground involved in grassroots service, and that is quite widespread.
Yeah, Miriam, that story reminds me of a time where I was in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, and I was there with a group from Compassion, and we were looking at some of the various child development programs that they had over there, and I was interviewing some children and their parents, and I was in this one little home that was right in the middle of one of the worst slums and one of the worst areas for crime. And later on, I found out that one of the local gang leaders had parked himself out the front door of that little house. And I'm glad I didn't know at the time. And when asked why he was there, he was saying that he was protecting us, and he was telling every other gang leader from every other gang to go around the long way to get to the shops instead of going past this house, because these people were from Compassion and they were doing some good work for the community.
Right.
Isn't it beautiful? Yeah. And also in the Latin American region, Central American region, it's fascinating what's happening there. Give us some more stories like that, how the faith is actually changing people's lives, even practically too. You also mentioned in the book how when Latin Americans become Christians, many learn to read, just so they can learn to read the Bible, but it actually, you know, it gives them broader skills.
Well, that's right. And one of the interesting things is that actually literacy is going down in the church in Latin America, and this is a good thing because it means that so many really poor people are coming into the faith. But once they come in, a lot of them have a new motivation to want to learn to read, because they want to read the Bible, because they feel this, they now have a book that belongs to them, and they want to know how to access it. And also, many of them get involved in small groups where they discuss the Bible, and this teaches them skills in discussing, in learning how to put out a thought, learning how to listen to other people's thoughts, learning how to kind of negotiate and think through ideas. And this gives them skills for general community participation and even community leadership. And then also, many of these people are finding that they are part of a broader network because they find other Christians. They're given the names, you know, when you go to such and such town to sell your corn, look in on this person here because he's a fellow believer, she's a fellow believer. And so they make networks that they didn't have before, and it broadens their view.
And Miriam, also, what is the faith doing for women as well?
Well, it's a kind of a funny thing because some of the teaching is quite, what should we say, the man is the head of the church, and the man is the head of the home and so forth. And yet, secular sociologists are finding that because the Bible is above everybody, women can say to their husbands, can say to the men in the church, "Look, what you are doing is not right."
Mm-hmm.
And there is a standard that actually empowers the women because it is above everybody, which is a kind of interesting thing.
Isn't it?
Also, the other thing is that in situations where there has been, let's say in slums, where there's been quite a bit of drunkenness, that, of course, leads to family violence. And when people become Christians, they may take the odd glass, but they don't tend to get drunk so much. And the result is, you know, that they're not beating their wives as much, and mm-hmm. they're you know, and they're treating their children better. So at the domestic level, there is something that happens.
Yeah, this is Open House across the nation. Miriam Aidney has researched Christianity right across the world and kind of taken a test of the pulse of Christianity globally and seen the areas in which it really is most flourishing. And we're talking about Latin America tonight. Openhouseonline.com.au is where you can find the podcast as well if you want to pass this on to somebody you know during the week. So Miriam, we've talked about the strengths there. There's also some weaknesses, like there isn't any Christian movement around the world. What do you see as some of the weaknesses that are happening in the Christian church in Latin America?
Well, when Rios Montt became president of Guatemala in the 80s, a British Christian was very enthused about this, and he said, isn't it wonderful that an evangelical has been placed in power? And a Guatemalan Christian answered him, no, it is a tragedy because he does not have a Christian mind. And in fact, corruption continued, and he appointed relatives to positions of influence and power. So his election actually turned out to be kind of a scandal. And of course, that's one of the challenges in many countries, and also the challenge in Latin America. There's a Argentinian theologian, Pablo Dairos, who has listed 10 dangers for the church in Latin America today. And among them, one is triumphalism and the pursuit of success. And that reminds me of when I was in Guatemala. I was taken around one day by a Christian woman who wanted to show me her church, and she took me around and she said, here is our sanctuary. This seats 14,000 people. There are 14,000 bucket seats in that sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And then she showed me the parking lot. She said this parking lot holds 5,000 cars. Mm-hmm. And she was naturally very, very happy with this, but I happened to be in Guatemala to train Latin American missionaries who were heading to the Muslim world. And she said, why in the world would Guatemalans be interested in that? She said, I've never met a Muslim. They're so far away. What do they have to do with that? Her horizon was very limited to local success. Mm-hmm. And that's a danger because in some countries, like Guatemala, there's a significant percentage of the population that's quite vitally and vibrantly Christian. And it's easy to kind of wallow in mm-hmm. that.
Well, those flaws aside, what do you think that the rest of us can learn from the Christians of South America?
Well, their joy, their willingness to I think, reach out to the poor and to the disadvantaged, their willingness to see systematic injustice. Liberation theologians, of course, made a big emphasis on this, pointing out that that when Jesus began his ministry, as we read in Luke 4, he said that he came to set the those who were in prison free.
Captive free.
To set to the poor and to the debtors, and so they point out that Christians must have a focus on this, and many of us tend to forget this, but. Not so with Latin Americans. Liberation theology, from my view, may have gone a little too far, a little too close to Marxism. But it raised some important points, and whether you're from that perspective or from some other perspective, Latin American Christians in general have been sensitive here, I would say.
Lots of great lessons we can take. And, of course, the growth of Pentecostalism reminds us that, God can actually come and empower us personally. That's a great lesson to learn as well. I could talk to you for hours, Miriam. Let's hold off the next conversation until next week when we explore China. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, Miriam Aidney, who's the author of Kingdom Without Borders, and she's our tour guide, really, as we whip around the world and see how the Christian faith is faring.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.